Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture University, the university where you learn everything going on in the world of pop culture and see what life lessons we can learn from it for our own life based on what these celebrities are going through. Because it's not just pop culture, it's our culture, and they're not just celebrities, they are you and me. Remember, this is a PhD level class, so you better get ready to absorb all this tea super fast like a sham wow. And you're only welcome in here if you are a smart, smart cookie and had a 36 on your ACT and got in. The acceptance rate is very low, so it's an honor for you to be here is what I'm saying. If it is not your first time here, thank you so much for coming back. I love you. I stan you. I'm in your fandom. But if it is your first time here, thank you so much for joining us. Take a seat in the classroom wherever you would like. Everyone is welcome, even the bisexuals. Reluctantly, the bisexuals, but we'll let them in for this week. And I say this class is a PhD level class because it's only for thinking people. That's my new favorite phrase. A presidential candidate that I love, she always says, that thinking people should understand what she is saying and agree with her. And I just love that because some people just aren't thinking. Or you look at some people and you're just like, what the fuck are they thinking? They must not know how to think right. So this podcast is only for thinking people. There are ways to get expelled from Pop Culture University. And I will let you know those ways throughout the episode today and what you should avoid doing. But there's so much crazy shit going on this week. We need to talk about Selena Gomez reuniting with her kidney donor, which I think is mind-boggling, mind-blowing, because Selena always has an enemy. So why is she now getting back with her kidney donor? We must talk about that. We also need to talk about how Selena Gomez broke bones in her hand and went to the hospital, and how Kim Kardashian broke her shoulder and can't work out anymore. We also need to talk about how Kanye West got his penis sucked in public. This is a college level class. We're all adults here. He got head in public, or should I say he got that crazy head, just like his own head. Then I'm going to give you an update on my spider infestation journey and if I'm back in my own apartment yet. We need to talk about why everyone is leaving Scooter Braun, the biggest music manager in the music industry right now. Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, everyone is leaving him. Everyone hates him. Did Taylor Swift finally get her karma? We need to talk about the whole Scooter Braun drama and how he's literally an awful person regardless of what's going on. And then lastly, we need to talk about the most controversial thing I've ever said on the internet. It was called the most insane internet take in recent history by many people online, and that is the infamous statement I made on TikTok that Taylor Swift is just as famous as Michael Jackson. She's reached Michael Jackson level fame, and this episode is going to fully convince you of that. So let's just get into it. Before we do, make sure you rate this podcast, leave it 5-star on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, leave a review, be nice, I love to read them. Only leave a review if you're going to leave 5-star. Make sure you follow it so I can get pushed more on the Spotify page. We don't have big companies doing that for me. I'm independent, so it would help so much to follow it. And without further ado, face forward, pay attention, because Pop Culture University is beginning. Something I've been doing lately that just makes me feel so good is I go to some random store in LA every day and I will get a immunity drink. Like, it's these little shots of strong, potent like herbs and spices and blends of organic ingredients that just, I swear to God, make my immune system so much better. I was feeling the warning signs of being sick, like the little scratch in my throat and my head was hurting a little bit. And then I drank one of these immunity shots and it made me feel so much better. Let me put you guys on. Let me tell you the brand. It's called So Good, So You. And it's an immunity shot with ginger and organic cold pressed probiotic juice. But let me tell you, organic raw honey, organic ginger juice, organic orange juice, and a bunch of other ill shit that I cannot pronounce, but immunity's so good. Yes, yes, yes. Speaking of immunity, systems, immune systems. Let's talk about Selena Gomez. She's definitely had health problems before, but I just want to say, I feel like Selena Gomez is the problem in a lot of situations when it comes to feuds that she has in life. If you have listened to Pop Coach University for a while, you know my controversial takes on Selena Gomez and how I do not let her off the hook or fall into her, I'm just so kind and sweet and different than other girls. I just don't buy into that whole thing about Selena Gomez. I do love her. I love her music. I'll defend her singing voice to the death. Her new song, Single Soon, is a fucking bop. I'm obsessed with her, but I'm not going to be a like mindless sheep herded by her. I'm so sorry. I'm an independent thinker, not in the Kanye West way and like the normal calm way. But I just want to say, like, after she made 13 Reasons Why, that was a huge red flag for me on the whole Selena Gomez thing. And don't you kind of feel like she is the problem though? It's her. Hi, it's the problem. It's her. She's always in a feud with someone. She's always making us choose sides. It's always like Selena or Haley, Selena or Justin, Francia or Selena, who is her kidney donor. But is Selena Gomez starting to mend the bridges she has burned? Is she breaking the pattern that she has set for herself? Because you have to agree with me. You've seen the pattern. So she's actually, this is shocking to me. I'm so proud. I feel like a proud like therapist or something. She is mending her relationship with her kidney donor. If you don't know, these two girls had a massive feud. And I wouldn't be able to fathom someone having a feud with me if I donated my kidney to them. Like, if I give you my kidney, cut a piece of my body for your life, you don't have to wake up every day and say the Pledge of Allegiance to Patty or have a shrine of me in your house that you worship. But I would appreciate always getting a certain level of respect and conversation and good vibes from you. That's really it. So let's just do a quick recap of this tea. This is the bell ringer for today's class. And if you don't know, the bell ringer is like the more positive, shorter, nice sip of warm tea to warm you up for the rest of class. That's going to be insane. So let me just give you a little bit of a refresher. So in 2016, the iconic Wizard of Waverly Place herself, Selena Gomez, was diagnosed with lupus. And lupus is a really serious autoimmune condition. And it basically attacks your kidney and your kidney starts to shut down. And that disables a lot of vital bodily functions to happen in your body. So if someone has lupus for too long, their kidneys can totally shut down and they will unfortunately die. And in Selena Gomez's case, her lupus was getting really bad really fast. And that's why I'll always have major, major respect for Selena Gomez, regardless of what's going on with her or whatever I have to say about her being the problem, because she really went through a lot. And she got diagnosed in 2016, but she already needed a kidney by 2017 because her body was breaking down so fast. But the wait time to get a new kidney is like 10 years or something. So awful, so sad. I'm an organ donor on my license. I don't know if everyone is. Do you know that conspiracy theory that if you're an organ donor on your license, like if an ambulance finds you in a crash, they're not going to save you. They're going to let you die so they can sell your kidney. Has anyone ever heard about that? I'm sure it's not true, but I'm just saying, like, I would love to raise awareness for more people being tested and being able to help people with lupus and all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, Selena Gomez needed it really bad, or she literally could have died like very, very young. And I love her pop music, so I need more of Selena Gomez in my life. She can't leave us just yet. And so she was looking around for a kidney. Her family weren't matches. Her other friends weren't a match. But someone she lived with and was her best friend for years and years and years, her name is Francia, and she's a pretty accomplished actress. She's in like sitcoms. I think The Secret Life of an American Teenager. She was in a recent pretty big show with like quite the impressive ensemble cast. I like how people are like, she's totally irrelevant. Who is Francia? But she actually is quite accomplished. She's in How I Met Your Father. Grown-ish, Bring It On, Black-ish. It looks like she was in some sort of rom, like steamy, sexy rom-com of some sort called Beyond Paradise. So she's a working girl. She's booked and busy. She has life and she has health insurance because she's working that much. Anyway, she got tested because she was literally seeing Selena Gomez dying right in front of her in their house that they lived in together. And she was a match. But the thing is with Francia, and this is where the drama starts, is that Selena Gomez found out Francia was a match before Francia did, and Francia did an interview where it seems like she felt forced to give her kidney to Selena Gomez because she said one day she was just chilling out after her test and she got a FaceTime from Selena, and right when she answered it, Selena was like, "We're a match. Oh my God, can you believe it? I'm so happy. This is going to fix everything." And Francia was so shocked because why wouldn't the doctor call her first?
When I found out I was a match, it wasn't the way I expected. One day, I got a phone call from Selena, a FaceTime, and she's like, "We're a match!" And I'm like, ah, yay! What? How do you know this? I had a way that I wanted to tell her when I made the decision. I knew it was gonna happen, I just needed that time. Like, it's a big thing. So I hang up and I call my social worker and I'm angry. And she told me, "It's gonna be hard. The recipient is gonna glow and she's gonna recover a lot faster than the donor is because she's receiving something she needs. You're losing something you don't need to lose. It's gonna be hard." And it was very hard.
It seems like there would just be a HIPAA violation there. And I know some people would be like, "No, I'm sure Francia didn't care. She's probably so excited." But I would definitely need to think about it, even if it was my best friend at the time, because if you donate a kidney, you're going to be out of commission for like 6 months. You're going to be going through extreme pain. It's a surgery that could potentially kill you. Like, Francia had to write a will before she went into this surgery to give Selena Gomez her kidney. So while I know I would end up doing it for a best friend or a family member, I would just need a minute to cope with it before I told them I would do it, if that makes sense. So they went through all of that drama, and then the public was kind of hating on Selena a bit because they think Francia was kind of violated in that sense. And then 2017, they had the surgery. And after that, Selena was so happy and giddy and out and about. But Francia was recovering for like 6 months. And people were hoping Selena was realizing what Francia really just did to her and how in debt she is to her, kind of. But it seems like she didn't, because by 2018, they weren't friends at all. They were not friends at all. Damn, she got that kidney and peaced out. And there were rumors they had a massive falling out and a massive fight because right after Selena got this kidney, she wasn't taking care of her own physical health. If you don't know, if you've gone through lupus, you can't really drink too much alcohol or be getting drunk or abusing it at all because that could deteriorate the kidney that someone just gave for you. And Selena Gomez was allegedly, Selena Gomez's team, don't send me a cease and desist, but let's just be real. The rumor on the street was that Selena Gomez was heavily drinking alcohol. And do I have to remind everyone of that suspicious video of Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber going in a back alley in a bad part of town in LA to buy something suspicious from a few men, if you know what I'm saying? I'm just being real here. This is the real tea that I'm talking about that you're going to hear at Pop Culture University, but look up the video. I'm not sure what they were buying, but Selena wasn't taking care of her own health. And she was incriminating herself because on TikTok, she kept making funny posts about how much she was drinking. Like, there was video, like, she stitched a video of a doctor who was like, "Alcohol abuse is technically 2 drinks every day or 5 drinks a week, 15 a month." And Selena stitched it and was making like a, "Oops, I totally do that" kind of face to this doctor who was saying what alcohol abuse is. And people were like, "Selena, what the fuck are you doing?" She actually responded to some people in the comments because, you know, she jumps at an opportunity to respond to a comment in a totally random, unsettling way. And she just told everyone that it was a joke and they're assholes. Doesn't seem like a joke, though, because I'm pretty sure she was holding a wine glass in that video. So apparently her and Francia just had a feud over her not taking care of her health. Then they didn't talk for 3 years. From 2018 to 2021, and oh my God, I would be pissed. I would do a chant that's like, "You have my kidney. I want it back. You have my kidney. I want it back." Like, outside of her house. Like, when cheerleaders are like, "You have the ball. We want it back." I'd be like, "You have my kidney. I want it back. That is my kidney." Like, and you are just not taking care of it. So they didn't speak for 3 years until National Kidney Day in 2021. I mean, that's my favorite holiday every year. I throw a major rager where I steal everyone's kidneys. I'm just kidding. But Selena said, "Thank you for blessing me. I'm forever grateful to you." That's nice. That's a nice thing to say. I think that's the least you could say, on National Kidney Day for someone who cannot even take too hardcore of medicine anymore because she doesn't have two kidneys, for you. But anyway, and then in 2022, Selena didn't mention Francia in her documentary at all. At all. And it was an Apple TV documentary about her life. And it seems quite obvious that maybe she wouldn't have a life if Francia did not save her life. So while I don't need a 30-minute section of the documentary dedicated to me, I would love like a lower third with my name on it. Or maybe like say my first name, like whisper my first name. But instead she was just like fighting with her assistant and going to visit random people in her hometown. Like, give us the real tea, give us the real juice. And then Selena, in an interview to promote the documentary, only referred to Francia as, quote, the girl who gave me a kidney. Wow. Say her fucking name. Say her name. Say her name. Like, that's like how you would refer to someone who gave you an STD and you don't want to say who to protect them. You'd be like, the boy who gave me an STD. Like, maybe you wouldn't say that name if they gave you that health issue, but like, she literally gave you a kidney. I'd be like, my savior, my favorite person in the whole world, the most celebrated and incredible human I've ever met. And I would say their full name and I would get it tattooed on my chest. But that's just me. And then to make it worse, because Selena really loves to kick people while they're down, especially on social media. But what Selena does is she always likes to leave some like plausible deniability that she's a good person, but also she wants to invigorate her fans enough to attack someone at the same time. She's a master mind in that sense, if you know what I'm saying. I really try to like Selena because I love her music and her work, whatever, but it's a little annoying. She annoys me sometimes. But anyway, Selena did an interview and she was like going off about how she's like different from all the other girls and being a pick me girl. And she said, I never fit in with the cool girls who are celebrities. My only friend in the industry is Taylor Swift. And as I just said, Francia has, you know, a pretty good career. She's definitely in the industry. So not even being on the level of a friend, like she got demoted to an acquaintance or like some random annoying girl who like begged me to like take her kidney. Like, it's just annoying. And Francia commented, interesting, on the post that was talking about Selena saying basically they aren't friends. And then Selena's response to that was, I'm sorry I didn't mention everyone I know. Girl. Bombastic side eye does not cut it. So anyway, Francia didn't really keep her side of the street clean either. She kept calling the paparazzi on herself in like her random town in like the like some West Hollywood apartment where she was like walking her dog down a totally random street. And it's so obvious that you call the paparazzi because they wouldn't just be sitting there. Sometimes paparazzis do sit on certain streets with they know celebrities live at, but they wouldn't park outside of Francia's house. So she called the paparazzi on herself, as it seems. And she was asking the paparazzi to ask her questions about why she doesn't follow Selena anymore and why they're not friends anymore. And Francia would kind of just give these half-hearted, like sassy responses back. But it was basically a cry for help that she feels disrespected by Selena. However, after all of that drama that I would maybe consider unforgivable in a way or hold a grudge, they finally followed each other back on Instagram last month. Can you believe that? Last month. I give you a kidney and you can't even give me a follow for 6 years after. So they finally followed each other back on Francia's birthday on July 26th, I believe. And Selena said, happiest of birthdays to this special human being. No matter where life takes us, I love you. Now let's just translate what Selena just said. Happiest of birthdays to this special human being. No matter where life takes us, I love you. That's basically saying, happy birthday to this girl who gave me a kidney and I realized what she did for me. And even though we were fighting for the last 6 years, no matter where life takes us, I love you. So that's nice. But I think that like confirms the drama to me. Anyway, now they're hanging out like every single day, which is just so odd to me. Can you guys imagine having beef with someone for 5 years and then going back to being best friends? I don't know if I could do that. That it would seem like almost like hanging out with like an enemy or like an adversary. Like 5 years of broken trust is a lot for me to just go out and about with you, but they've been out to dinner and bowling, always on her story, Sfrantia even helps Selena promote her new single, Single Soon. And then Francia actually went on Josh Peck's podcast. I do not like Josh Peck. And she was actually talking about how there's no beef between her and Selena and how no one forced her to give the kidney. So that seemingly squashed all the beef. But I just think it's very flagrantly obvious that she's finally squashing the beef now because they're actually friends and Selena has like welcomed her back into her life because she had ample opportunity to do that before. And it's not like she was like waiting to give the exclusive to the Josh Peck podcast. No. So here's that.
That was a time I just felt it in my heart. I knew I was a match. I knew it was going to happen. You know, no one forced me to do anything. It came out of the genuine kindness of my heart, and I've been super blessed ever since.
Your name was in the press a lot last week. I know that there's no beef between you and Selena. How does that press, the TMZ of it all, does it get to you? Is it helpful to have your name in the press?
Never in my life did I picture this. Now, I know that I went, you know, she and I both went public with our situation years ago. And honestly, we had to, you know, the press got a hold of the story and we wanted to tell it. Now, as of what's going on lately, I can't read the comments because I don't do well with that. I really don't.
And
I disappear because people are mean. Someone said, oh, you're just looking for attention because your career is a flop. I'm like, is it a flop? But you guys, there's no beef. There's salsa.
But yeah, I don't know. I just think all of that is so interesting. And I think beef and salsa go well together. So maybe there could be both. But what can we learn from this for our own lives? I think what we can learn is that when you hold a grudge against someone, it's like tying a dead body to your back. Everywhere you go, you are dragging that dead body and that burden with you. And it hurts no one but you. Because the other person doesn't really even care that you have that burden, if that makes sense. So I feel like Francia and Selena were both kind of suffering by themselves, wanting to be friends, but felt like they couldn't for so long. And they're probably both burdened by it, but didn't, like, the other wasn't thinking about the pain that the other one was going through. They were probably just scared to, you know, let their ego down and be the first one to reach out and wave the white flag and want to be friends. And in response to that, to the whole concept of like not being afraid to be the first one to reach out to end a grudge, I feel like my ego never really gets in the way of that because I've learned the lesson of not holding a grudge for my own sake so long ago. So I would say by withdrawing your ego is really good because that's going to get the other person to withdraw their ego as well, like really, really fast. You think it wouldn't. Like think of someone you have a feud with right now, whether it's a friend or a random acquaintance or a coworker or a family member, whatever. I think you would be shocked by how fast they would be super receptive to squashing any beef you had because deep down they're suffering with the burden of the grudge that you guys are holding together. So I think letting down your egos will remove the barriers in order for y'all to reconnect again. And yeah, just find a way to contact them. Because you really don't have anything to lose. Because nothing's really worse than your current situation between you and the person you're holding a grudge against. And if you really just hate the person, they did something so unforgivable, don't hold the grudge. Just like stop thinking about them forever. If that makes sense. Like don't be angry. So something else about Selena Gomez, she always has drama with someone, like I said, like I've just been talking about. And of course, there's a drama between her and her ex, The Weeknd. And she just came out with her new song, Single Soon, which I think is so good. It kind of sounds like a 2010 Katy Perry pop song that it may be having a resurgence of some sort. It almost sounds like a song that Addison Rae passed on and gave to Selena Gomez. But I really like it. I really like Miley's song as well, Used to Be Young. Miley's so fucking amazing. And she's so good at making anthems. And this is another anthem for sure. So let me know if you like Miley's or Selena's song more, students. I would love to know. But there's some tea now attached to Selena's new song. And it's because the song is about breaking up with someone. And apparently she wrote this around the time of 2017 when she maybe was dating someone else, maybe Justin Bieber, and then got with The Weeknd. So the lyrics of the song go, should I do it on the phone? Should I leave a little note in the pocket of his coat? Maybe I'll just disappear. I don't want to see a tear. And The Weeknd's almost here. So it sounds like she's saying, I'm going to break up with this guy and I'm going to go on a date with The Weeknd afterwards. And if she released this in 2017, that would be the best press ever. And so smart of a way to get people talking, but not directly calling out The Weeknd, because she can obviously just say, no, I meant like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like the days of the week, The Weeknd, and I'm going to go party with my friends. She's always so good at leaving that plausible deniability that she was coming for someone's throat. But she told us that that is not true. There was some like major news outlet like Entertainment Tonight or something that made a headline, is Selena Gomez singing about Abel, The Weeknd, in her new song. And she said in the comment section, because she's always in the comment section, her fingers get so happy in the comment section. And she said, no, that couldn't be farther from the truth. So allegedly, apparently, she's not singing about The Weeknd. That sucks for The Weeknd too, because he could use some good PR right now. This is great news, actually, though. His HBO show, The Idol, was canceled after one season. Can you believe it? I can. And I feel like the people who like The Idol on HBO, if you didn't see it, don't worry about it. Like, don't watch it. It's not good. Trust me. It will save your time. And if you liked the show The Idol, you're expelled. You're expelled from Pop Culture University. Sorry. Hand in your cap and gown. But people were like, oh, it got canceled because it's so controversial. And it's so raunchy and vulgar and crossing the line. And it's just so intelligent and for really raw, intense consumers of media. And it's like, nah, it got canceled because it's bad. It got canceled because it's the worst dialogue I've ever heard in a show, ever. Especially the line where he was like, there's so much cum and it's all coming out of my penis. Like, no, Doug girl, where else is it supposed to come from? That's like saying there's so much poo and it's coming from my butt. No, duh. Ugh, I'm so sorry I just said that. That's so gross. But I blame the whole writer's strike on that show, like I've said before. Thank God it's canceled. Selena Gomez also broke her hand. She's using her hand too much because she's single. But she said, I broke my hand and had surgery. Oh. There was another report on some Instagram post that she dwells in the comment sections of. And the post was about how her song might get in the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 next week. And her completely out-of-pocket response, she could never be in pocket. Like, that should be a new superlative for this class. The most out-of-pocket celebrity. But I feel like Selena Gomez would constantly win. Her response was, to literally this account just saying she might get in the top 10, her response was, broke my hand and had surgery. I don't care about selling anything. I'm just happy to make music with my friends. Girl, why? Oh, calm down. Take it easy, man. No one is saying, like, you just want to sell things or you're an evil capitalist. Like, we're just saying it could get in the top 10. But she wanted to let us know she just likes making music with her friends and she broke her hand. I don't know how those two things correlate. I don't know. Is Selena a thinking person? If you're not a thinking person, you're expelled. Let me know. But yeah, so she broke her hand. I wish her, I'm sending her all the healing vibes. Healing vibes Selena Gomez's way. Psh, psh, psh. Kim Kardashian also broke her shoulder. Damn, it's because she's carrying the weight of her whole fucking family on her shoulder with her boring sisters. I'm just kidding. But she broke her shoulder, I'm assuming working out. She never said why. Leave it to Kim Kardashian to leave us with a lack of information. But she posted a Snapchat story with her trainer. And she was like, here's something you don't know about me, you guys. Oh, here, I'll do an impression because I like to do that when I am referring to someone's post. Here's something you don't know about me, guys. I broke my shoulder, so I can't be in the gym this week. Yeah. But I'm gonna get back to it. Nothing can hold me down. So that's what she was saying. I feel like the shoulder bone, I don't know what it's technically called. Hold on, I'm gonna look up like an anatomy thing. Bones in shoulder. I dropped out of anatomy because I was so scared to see the cadaver. I'm not even kidding. Your clavicle. I feel like your clavicle would be the most pesky bone to break. And that's just what I've heard because it's quite thin. And I heard when people break it, they often have issues like recurring after. So hopefully she didn't break her clavicle because that would be terrible. But yeah, I wonder how she broke her shoulder. Maybe North beat her up. Ozempic does make your bones weak, I've heard. But anyway, sending the healing energy to Kim Kardashian as well. I almost said Kim Kardashian West, but duh, she's not KKW anymore. But speaking of Kanye West, or the man formerly known as Kanye West, Ye. I don't even know how to like introduce what he did, but Ye is off the grid right now. He's not coming back to America. Quite suspicious. It's almost time for him to run for president again. So he better get back here to rally the troops. But so he's in Italy right now and he's been in Europe for a while. He's just vacationing there. He doesn't feel like being in the Kardashian country right now because the Kardashians are the royal family in the USA. And I stand by that. It's the US of K. So he's been in Europe and he was in Italy this week. And you know those like romantic boat rides you can do in the rivers in Italy, and they'll have like someone playing the accordion and someone playing the violin, and then this guy dressed like a mime, beautifully rowing you down the river for in front of everyone, for everyone to see how in love you are. I've never been invited on one of those, and I probably never will. I'll update you on my dating life in a second, students. But Kanye was getting his dick and cock sucked on one of those this weekend. And I am not kidding. Look up the photos. Look up the videos. He has that wife, that new long distance, low commitment, casual wife, Bianca. I think that's her name. And she was going down on him on this boat. And they were the only ones on this boat. But like the guy who was like rowing the boat gently down the stream was trying to mind his own business. But even he looked shook. But there's this paparazzi photo from an above angle with Kanye like sitting on the boat and his pants are pulled down. So his ass crack is out. Bitches his ass so we keep it a crack. His ass crack. Say crack one more time. Crack was out. And Bianca was like, her head was down in his crotchimous area. And she looked up and looked at the camera. And one second I was like, oh my God, they're having their Kim Kardashian moment. A public BJ for the whole world to see. And his ass is out. He wants to be Kim K so bad. And isn't Kanye a devout Christian? Aren't him and his wife devout Christians? Well, she was devouring that dick on that boat. Where in the Bible does it say thou shalt get top in public? I don't know what was going on with them. I am worried for Kanye. It's going to be so easy for Kris Jenner to put him in that conservatorship. But I just want to say, like, in regards to Kanye, Kim has basically just said she wants him to be happy and anything that can help him find stability in his life. But on the show, it seems like Kim Kardashian is mourning Kanye. There was just an episode where she was going through all of his storage units as if he was dead almost. I don't know if you saw it, but wasn't it like he was dead kind of, students? Like, I hope you watch the show. I love it. But she was going through and picking what to save and what to throw away and what she'll give her kids in the future. And she was crying while she was looking at it because she was like, these all belong to the guy I used to know. And she doesn't know Kanye anymore. I truly think Kim feels no emotion towards his new wife. He's already had like 6 Kim Kardashian lookalike girlfriends in between Kim and this new wife. So I think Kim just hopes she is a good influence on him and can help him out. I feel like this is really degrading to her. And I'm sure Kanye really, really wanted her to do it and maybe like kept asking. And begging. A lot of people were saying that he is degrading her and that's almost like abusive, like making her do that in public. I don't really know what to say about that. I don't know where her mind is at. We don't know anything about her, what she's like. I mean, obviously she consented to it and they're married, but it's just a really bad situation. But yeah, look up the photos. You'll see Kanye West's butt. Never really thought we would see that, but yeah, it's unfortunate. What else is unfortunate is what's going on with me in LA right now. You guys, it is brutal out here, and I've actually been having a really hard week. So if you listen to last week's episode, I talked to you about the situation going on with my apartment. Now, I have a really nice apartment in West Hollywood. I'm very proud and grateful to be able to own it. Like, I'm so thankful that at 23, I can live alone in West Hollywood. That's amazing. And last week, I started to get these red welts on my legs and then red welts on my arms. And doing some research, all signs pointed to that I had an intruder in the form of some kind of bug biting me in my sleep. So obviously, the first thing I think of is bed bugs. And that's very unfortunate and humiliating, almost. It's sad to even admit that I could potentially have that. I feel like it's associated with being dirty and messy and a total slob. Like, you attracted these bugs to bite you in your sleep, like feed on you. Oh, that's just horrible. So I had an inspector come in and they said they didn't find any evidence of bed bugs, but they did find evidence of spiders. And I actually was in my apartment the night before. I literally ran out. Like, I dropped everything as if there was a fire. I ran out and after I saw two spiders on my bed. And I got this app that, like, could tell me what kind of spider it is based on a photo. And it's a wall spider, but they can still bite you and leave you, like, with some irritation. Ugh. So I've been staying with my friend. And this fucking sucks. My friend Adam the Flop. If you don't know him from TikTok, you should go check him out. He's amazing. He's the generous queen. He's letting me stay on his couch. And I just feel like an asshole. Like I'm using him almost to just stay on his couch while I have bed bugs in my apartment. And I just feel like a needy friend. Like, he comes home every day and I'm just like this homeless guy on his couch. It stinks. So I'm trying to, you know, give him his space again as fast as I possibly can. So a canine unit is coming into my apartment tomorrow. And I will definitely update you guys about this, students. A canine unit is going to sniff around my apartment and see what insects they could find. Dogs always saving the day, but I'm so nervous. I am hoping for the best outcome. I think the best outcome would be the canine finds whatever it is, and we find the solution to kill whatever it is immediately after. Because I think with these bites on my body, I think there is something really insidious and sinister going on in there, and I need it killed. I don't want the dog to not find anything, because that makes me worried that even if they don't find anything, it's still there. Like, maybe this dog is bad at its job, or it's like lazy or something. I don't know. If only they could bring in a border collie, but I feel like they're going to bring in like a chihuahua who's like 14 to like sniff around my apartment. But yeah, it's really given me a bad week though. I'm not going to lie. My mental health is not good. I feel like I'm out of control of my own life because I'm not in my own space and I'm like relying on someone else, and I hate that feeling. Also, my apartment told me they're not going to compensate me for the amount of time I wasn't in my apartment. I'm not going to get anything off of my rent. And I think that's a little silly because my physical health is being harmed by being in the apartment. So I should get the percentage of how many days of the month I spent out of the apartment off my rent, because I'm literally not living there and I'm paying to live there. So who knows? Maybe I'll lawyer up or something if they find something and still don't give me what I deserve. But yeah, I'm like not afraid of that. There's like a WhatsApp group chat with all the tenants, like the hundreds of tenants in the building, and I will drop the bomb that there are flesh-eating bugs in my apartment. So like I really am that guy. That wouldn't give me any trepidation at all. There would be no reluctantness on my part to literally tell everyone and send them photos of them. So yeah. But yeah, I feel like a mess and a loser and a hater and a user, like BB Rexha said. But yeah, Also, just this week in LA, like, because of this, my diet is going so bad. My productivity has been down. My hair is falling out even more because I have, like, a condition where my hair falls out from stress. I'm still single, so this sucks. Oh, my God. This weekend, I went to a party with someone who was in NSYNC, like, the boy band. Isn't that crazy? I just showed up, and, of course, it's Lance Bass. But he was in NSYNC, and he was just there. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm at a party with Lance Bass right now? Insane. But, oh my God, I also met a lot of, like, gay influencers who I really, really love there. And I guess I could, like, tell you the names of them. Maybe if you DM me or something. No, I'll just say. His name is Xander. I've been following him for so long. Literally since, like, 2018, he's been my unobtainable couple goals. And I see him there and I'm just like, oh my God. And I think he sees that, like, I'm looking at him. So he comes up to me and we just start talking for so long, like, as friends. And it was the most refreshing, amazing thing, like, meeting a friend in LA who's also a big influencer and them being really kind and normal as hell and wanting to talk to you as a friend and not just treating you as a fan. If you simply just say you like their content, because there's a lot of people who you'll just say, oh, I like your content. They'll be like, thank you. Do you want a selfie? And then they won't ask them you about you at all. And there's a lot of people that I could say names of that you guys know, but I won't, students. But yeah, he was just so nice. So that's one good thing that's going on. But I want to say three good things going on in LA for the sake of being positive, because there's no point in filling my mind with negative thoughts and feelings. Because that's not going to fix anything. So here are three good things going on. I want to say I'm thankful for Adam the Flop for letting me stay in his apartment. I'm so lucky to have such an amazing friend. The second thing is that my TikTok and my career is doing well despite feeling like my productivity is down. Like, the numbers are up. The boost of being in LA is very helpful. And there's a lot of opportunities here. So even though I'm struggling with my living situation, I'm still happy to be in LA. And oh my God, I saw Rosé from Blackpink the other day, like, in person. They were doing a pop-up in West Hollywood, Blackpink. And I'm a Blink. I don't know if you guys are, but Rosé was there. And my friend Adam, he was given, like, insider access to the pop-up. So we got really, really, really close to Rosé. And when she came out, there was, like, hundreds of people waiting in line for this pop-up. The crowd went crazier than I've ever seen. And it's so weird seeing that level of fandom in person, because Rosé was, like, 3 feet in front of me. And all of these people right in front of me were screaming at this girl, like, this petite girl or woman, as I should say, standing right in front of me like, I love you, Rosé. I love you so fucking much. And the concept of just screaming that you love someone right in their face. Like, imagine you're on a date and the person is screaming like, I love you. I love you. That'd be crazy. So seeing Rosé, like, handle that in person was so crazy. I was obviously starstruck too, but I wasn't acting like that. I have to keep it professional, you know? But yeah, being in LA is great. And then this week I'll also say I made new friends. Like, the guy at the party I met and more people around West Hollywood. And you guys, of course, I'm so thankful for you. So there are some positive things going on as well. And I think that's what we can learn from this situation, to never let your mind be consumed by just the negative. It seems so, like, silly and childish and cliche to be like, don't think negative, just think positive. But it's so true. And I feel like almost becoming an independent adult made me realize you have to be your own, like, parent in a way. You have to calm yourself down in your own head and get yourself together and guide yourself. So you have to fill yourself with positive thoughts as an adult, especially as an adult. So definitely do that. And it's not like, it sucks feeling out of control, but you put yourself back in control by choosing how to respond to situations. So I'm just gonna let the dogs sniff out everything tomorrow and go accordingly from there. But I have bigger things to stress about. So this whole bug shit cannot be ruining my life right now. Police got a sting, watching every step I take, every move I make, every breath I take. If they don't get up on my face, I'll send the dogs out. 5 seconds and then the dogs come out. Oh my God, happy birthday, Michael Jackson. Woo! My favorite pop star in the whole world. I know you're alive out there somewhere, and I bet you you're a student here at Pop Culture University, Michael. I love the conspiracy theory that Michael Jackson is still alive. I firmly believe he is. I'm not saying it facetiously. I'm not being annoying. I think Michael Jackson is still alive somewhere. He would be 65 today. That's not even that old. Like, he could still be hee-hee-ing on the stage. He may not be able to moonwalk at such a vigorous pace anymore. But people really loved when he just stood still on stage. So Michael Jackson could still be killing it out there. Maybe one day he'll come back as a zombie, like Thriller. That would be great. But it is his birthday, and we can't overshadow everything Michael Jackson has done for culture and in music. He's truly maybe the single most famous singer of all time, and one of the most famous people in human history, I would say. Yeah, I was like, is that too crazy to say? No, I don't think so. I think he reached a level of fame that was really insurmountable until now. Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, you heard me. Until now. Why until now, you ask, students? Because there's a new girl in town in this day and age who, in my opinion, as a thinking person, and I think any thinking person would agree with me, I'm going to again reiterate the statement that has caused the biggest uproar in my career. And that is that Taylor Swift is Michael Jackson level famous. Don't hate me if you listen because of that. If this is the one thing we agree to disagree on, I can't wait to see y'all's responses in the polls. Oh my God. I cannot wait to talk about it. I cannot wait to hear about it. Responses in the polls. I made a TikTok video about this. I was just bored one day and I was like, oh, like what should I talk about today on TikTok? Like, you know, I have all these ideas, but I guess I was so bored. I really wanted to just stir something up, but I didn't imagine this. This video got more comments than any post I've ever posted. It's at 70,000 comments. 70,000 comments. That's a whole Harry Potter book in that damn comment section. Insane. Crazy. And then there was probably over 5,000 stitches to that. Or 5,000 reposts. People were making 20-minute videos on YouTube analyzing that statement. And I got more shit and more hates than I ever have in my whole life.
This TikTok creator is being bombarded with hate. Why, you ask? Because he said this.
I think Taylor Swift is Michael Jackson level famous.
I'll zip your dick tip and your asshole shut for that statement.
In the name of Bruno Bucciarati, I can't let that shit slide, my nigga. What the fuck?
I think Taylor Swift is Michael Jackson. Shut up. I think Taylor Swift is Michael Jackson level famous. Now,
Taylor Swift reached Michael Jackson status? That's Family Feud, everyone. I'm Steve Harvey, and we'll see you next time, folks.
Like, people really came at me personally. They came for my soul. They came for every part of me as a human because I disrespected their king, Michael Jackson. I was brutalized. People were saying things like, this may ruin your digital footprint. There's still time to delete. Or I ought to zip your dick tip and your asshole shut for making that statement. Who's your drug dealer? I need some medicine. Someone said I have a special waiting cell for me in hell now that I said that and my mother should have swallowed me. Someone posted a list of the most annoying gay people on TikTok and I was towards the top of it because of that statement. They had my face splattered on the TikTok. I mean, on the Twitter thread because of that. And yes, I know Michael Jackson is so incredible. And I know Michael Jackson has touched everyone, even the kids. kidding. And I just want to say, I love Michael Jackson. Like, I am obsessed with him. Some of his songs are in my top 10 favorite songs of all time. My number one favorite Michael Jackson song, and I would love to know yours in honor of his birthday, students. My number one favorite is Man in the Mirror. That is in my top five favorite songs of all time. That's the ultimate like self-reflection song, like get yourself together song. It's just the most personal song I could really ever think of. But I love his songs even back from when he was a kid, like a preteen. Well, first of all, I love the Jackson 5 songs, of course. And then even songs when he first went solo as like a small boy, like his song Ben, that's a huge throwback. I love that song. That song makes me cry every time I hear it. And then everything from You Wanna Be Starting Something, You Got to Be Starting Something, to the Earth song, to even his biggest hits like Thriller. I'm obsessed with him. And me saying that Taylor Swift is Michael Jackson level famous, that's not me hating on Michael Jackson. That is me loving on Taylor Swift and loving on Michael Jackson. I'm saying, isn't it so amazing that they're both such legends? We love them both. In that TikTok at the end, I did try to get people mad by saying maybe Taylor Swift is going to pass him and be more famous than him. So this is going to convince you. If you don't think you can be convinced of something, like this may be the hardest thing someone has ever had to convince you of, but prepare to be convinced, and like your mind is going to be changed like it's never changed before. You're going to experience that feeling of a changed mind. So why is Taylor Swift Michael Jackson level famous? I'm going to begin by saying Taylor Swift's accolades and then comparing them to Michael. Then there was a lot of rebuttals to my thesis statement about how Taylor Swift is just as famous as Michael Jackson because there were 70,000 comments. So I'm going to go through those rebuttals and completely destroy them and prove all the naysayers wrong. Swifties for the win. Anyway, so here's what Taylor Swift has done in her career that is completely puts her in a league of her own. First of all, she's going to make $1 billion off of music. A billion. Do you know how much bigger a billion is than a million? 1,000 times bigger. That is fucking nuts. And yes, Rihanna is a billionaire and Selena Gomez is almost a billionaire, but they made their fortune mainly off of selling product. Even though Selena was just like, I don't want to sell anything except makeup and skincare and then this and this, blah, blah, blah. She's going to make that just off music. Imagine having such amazing music and your music being so dispersed throughout the whole world that you make $1 billion off of it. Insane. And I love that people would always say, but fans used to faint for Michael Jackson. Like they would see him and just faint. Do you know how many people fainted at the Eras Tour so far? There are Swifties who almost committed Swiftie-ocide to get tickets to her concert. Like people were having seizures when they just got merchandise, when they just bought a cardigan from her merch store before the other fans bought it. People are absolutely rabid. People would spend like $20,000. There was a dad who actually spent $20,000 for each of his daughters to go to the show because that is how desperate people are to see her in person. This is a real quote from a fan. This year, I decided not to freeze my eggs. I'm going to put that money towards the thing I love most in the world, which is Taylor Swift. Huh? She said, fuck an unborn child. I want to see Taylor Swift. She has to focus on the present. And Taylor Swift is on tour right now. And I couldn't agree with her more, and I commend her. Also, Taylor Swift's tour was named by Time magazine as the biggest tour in the history of the world. Put her in a complete league of her own. And if we're talking about the history of the world, I'm damn sure that includes Michael Jackson. Not only is Taylor's tour so huge, Ticketmaster itself was brought to the Supreme Court because of the extreme demand for that tour that brought light to the wrongdoings of Ticketmaster, to the malpractices of Ticketmaster. And the CEO of Ticketmaster said that there was 14 million people on the site the second the tickets went on sale. They could have filled 900 stadiums just in America for people to see Taylor Swift. Not only that, but at every single tour stop, tens of thousands of people, up to 40 or 50,000 people will gather around outside of the stadium to just listen to her, to just hear her sing. You guys, she is literally like God on earth. I don't actually like mean that, but I feel like if an alien came to Earth, they would be like, okay, so who's the most important here? And they would think Taylor Swift is the mayor of the whole Earth. I'm not even lying. Her tour will generate $5 billion for the U.S. economy. She is single-handedly doing more what Joe Biden did in 4 years on this one tour. Okay, let's... She caused an earthquake at one of her shows. A literal earthquake measurable on the Richter scale because her fans were so loud and passionate and excited to hear her. And it's not like she even has the loudest songs that you need to like be going like raging that hard to. Her fans just love her that much. She caused a 2.3 earthquake on the Richter scale because of her fans. That's a mother quake. That's an icon quake that she caused. Who else is doing that? No one. Did Michael ever cause an earthquake? I'm not sure. Okay, let's compare her to Michael for funsies. So Michael Jackson had 6 albums go number 1. Taylor has had more than 10 albums go number 1. Not only that, but Taylor Swift was the first artist in history, which includes Michael Jackson, that occupied the whole top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 at the same time. She had the top 10 most popular songs in the country all at the same time. She is monopolizing music. Monopolizing it. She has the most American Music Awards out of any artist. She actually just surpassed Michael's record. She has over 31. Michael had 30. She has won Album of the Year at the Grammys 3 times. Michael won once. And again, the biggest tour in the history of the world. I want to reiterate, I love Michael. I'm obsessed with him. I'm not sure if you can convince me otherwise to what I'm saying at this point. If you are absolutely repulsed with me, please hear me out and understand that this may be the one time we disagree, and this may just be a character flaw of mine that you'll have to look past. But I just don't see it. I'm not sure. Now let's get to the rebuttals, because you're probably thinking of a lot of them right now. So let's get to the rebuttals that people were saying. The biggest one I saw, the number one biggest one, is that Taylor Swift is only famous in the United States. They were like, yeah, she may be Michael Jackson level famous in the United States, but not around the whole world. Not at all. She's not known anywhere else. I thought that was the wildest, most absurd, absolutely insane statement, but everyone seemed to rely on it so much as their crutch and their way to be able to sleep at night after seeing that video. It's like they didn't even do any research before typing, because leaders of other world countries are begging her to come to their countries because they know it will stimulate their economy so much because there's so many Swifties there. So let's just go through a few of them. The Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeted, "Hi, it's me. I know places in Canada would love to have you, so don't make it another cruel summer. We hope to see you soon." Asking her to come to Canada to perform, which she definitely will, and sell out every arena in the whole world. Actually, I think she already did sell tickets. And I saw a lot of people from Canada like crying because they didn't get any. The Chilean president, Gabriel Boric, recently took to YouTube to make a plea to the renowned artist Taylor Swift. I'm reading this from an article and I love how they worded that. In a video shared with the public, he expressed his desire for Taylor to include Chile in her Latin American world tour. President Boric's words resonated with the passionate Chilean Swifties, and he remains hopeful that the singer will respond positively to his invitation. He said, "One day she'll listen to Chilean Swifties, and I have no doubt she'll come to Chile. Hopefully sometime within the next 3 years." Oh, that's so cute that he was just like saying that. The leaders in Southeast Asia begged her to come to regions in that area. The world leader of Thailand said, "Hey, Taylor, big fan of yours. By the way, Thailand is back on track to be fully democratic after you had to cancel last time due to the coup. The Thai people have spoken via the election, and we all look forward to welcoming you to this beautiful nation of ours. Do it, and I'd come singing Lavender Haze with you." Wait, that sounds weird. "I'd come singing Lavender Haze with you." He said, "I'd be singing Lavender Haze with you." I'm sorry. But yeah, isn't that nuts? Oh my God. Imagine like world leaders treating you like the queen. Like she has world leaders on their knees. Obsessed. There's more though. The mayor of Budapest. This is worldwide, girl. World motherfucking wide. Bow down. The mayor of Budapest also joined the chorus of world leaders requesting Taylor Swift's presence in their respective nations. He penned a letter to the singer urging her to consider adding Hungary to her tour itinerary. To emphasize his plea, or at least make headlines with it, the leader said, the leader shared a picture of himself holding the heartfelt message on Instagram. Despite his efforts, Taylor has yet to respond, and no dates in Hungary have been added to the tour as of now. They're desperate. They're clinging. They're clawing. Have you ever even seen this madness? Oh my God. In the Philippines, the number one trend for days was hashtag We Want Eras Tour Philippines. There's also a drag queen in the Philippines, which I'm not sure if you've heard of this. This is the craziest phenomenon I have ever seen. Like, this drag queen is putting RuPaul to shame, bitch. There's a drag queen called Taylor Sheesh. Yes, that is her stage name. Iconic. I'm obsessed. I'm gagging. I want to fly to the Philippines just to see Taylor Sheesh. But what she's doing is she's started putting on like drag shows of the Eras Tour. She'd buy the outfits, she would learn the choreography, and then she would get this stage set up in a local mall or some big local place that anyone who wants to can just walk by and watch and, you know, tip her, make some money. And she has garnered tens of thousands of fans. Her performances look like Lollapalooza in the Philippines because so many people will come to see Taylor Sheesh. She's a beautiful, iconic, like tall and lanky drag queen, kind of like Taylor herself, but in the best, most amazing way. I'm not sure how Taylor isn't suing this person for like using her likeness and her music, but I honestly just think she's like, I'll let them have this one because I'm not coming to the Philippines or whatever. But imagine people just want to see your likeness. Like, they just want to see someone in a costume of you, the image of you. And they will come and scream the lyrics at the top of their lungs. I saw that Bretman Rock was in the Philippines last week and he requested to hang out with Taylor Sheesh. And they did TikToks together. Insane. Imagine a drag queen getting more people to come to their show than a lot of these other pop stars get to come to their real headlining shows. Nuts. In Mexico, she sold out 5+ nights at each stadium and they had to build extra listening only areas with bleachers and stands for extra fans that they were selling. Honestly, whoever set that up in Mexico was so fucking smart. They were like, we know there's people who didn't get tickets who want to see her, so we're going to build these brand new bleachers and sell tickets to sit on the bleachers really close to the stadium so you can listen, but you can't see her. Genius business model. So cool. Not only that, but in Mexico, they weren't just having merch stands. You know how you'll go to a concert and there'll be like people, like street vendors, this is clearly their job to kind of scam you, like giving you low quality merch and mock-ups of the real merch. One time I was at a Dua Lipa concert and I asked the guy outside to give me a shirt that was a medium because I forgot to get some inside, and he gave me an extra large, and then I said, no, this is an extra large, and I handed it him back, and he threw another shirt at me, like on my face, and I was like, oh my God, thanks. And then I get to the car, it's another extra large. Those fucking fakers. But yeah, so there's a bunch of vendors selling these random pieces of Taylor Swift merch, but huge assortments. I saw one of them were selling life-size cardboard cutouts of her, but they didn't have a merch stand. They had a merch village. It looked like a farmer's market. It looked like a festival fair of Taylor Swift merch that you can buy because they knew so many Swifties were going to be coming around that stadium. There was a merchandise village in Mexico. Yeah. Fucking crazy. So that's the first rebuttal. She is worldwide. I'm not sure why people have the impression that she's only in America. Maybe because she kind of makes being America's sweetheart a part of her brand. Like, her documentary was called Miss Americana. I'm not sure if that's where they got confused, but she's definitely worldwide. Of course, Michael was too. We love him. He was like so beloved worldwide, and that was made very clear. I just wish Taylor's impact was made more clear. Let's get to the next one. So a lot of people would say there was a time that Michael Jackson shut down a Bulls game because he went to the Bulls game in Chicago, where I'm from, Slay Michael Jordan. But he went to a Bulls game and so many people knew he was going to be there because it's a public event that they had to shut down the game and cancel it because the arena was completely covered with Michael Jackson fans and no basketball fans could even get in. The players were being completely bothered and they had to shut down the game. And yeah, that's like so impressive. That's so cool. People came just to get a glimpse of him. But the gag is that last week, Taylor Swift went to her friend's wedding, a completely private event. No one even knew it was going to happen. And some fan on the street saw her walking in, took one photo of her like side profile. And within 15 minutes of that photo being on Twitter, herds of thousands of fans started gathering around the venue of this person's wedding. And it almost shut down the wedding, a private event. Isn't that fucking nuts? Like, it wasn't even publicized that she was going to be there. So I think she has that same impact of massive crowds are going to form wherever she goes. Are you still with me? Do you hate me yet? Please don't. Other people will say that Michael Jackson is generationally famous and Taylor Swift just is not yet. She maybe has like the millennials and the Gen Zs, but that's kind of it. To that, I would say Michael Jackson was famous from 5 to 50. He had a 45-year career. Of course he's going to be generationally famous. Whereas Taylor Swift released her first single 17 years ago. And she has about 28 more years to have as long of a career as Michael Jackson. So I want you to put that into perspective. I think she's going to be massively generationally famous when she reaches that equivalent time period. And I think it's so crazy to even think about. Taylor Swift is already Michael Jackson level famous and she's only been one third of his career. Insane. The next rebuttal, which I will definitely give to the Michael Jackson fans, is that Michael Jackson is more vocally talented and can dance better. Facts. Period. That is a fact. He was a phenomenon, an anomaly, one of the most talented people to ever live, for sure. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fame here. I'm talking about the level of public admiration. But yes, Michael Jackson, definitely the better talent. Songwriting, I'm not sure. But I don't really like comparing like their talents because I think they're both such amazing, talented people. Like I said, I think Michael Jackson is just as incredible and one of the best artists to ever live ever. And I'm obsessed with him. But yeah, I think we can all agree that we're obsessed with Michael Jackson. The last rebuttal, people would always say Michael Jackson is more impressive because he got that famous with no social media. Like, there was less channels of media for him to get his face out there. And he still managed to be just as famous. And to that, I would say, I feel like the opposite is so obvious and so true. And I thought this was obvious to everyone. But in a world where everything is fragmented and we have so many choices, we have thousands of singers to choose from every day. We probably have 500 more, like we probably listen to 100 times more artists in a week than people did when Michael Jackson was at his peak. There was just less choice. So of course, if less people are able to get the public's attention, that smaller group of people is going to become more famous. I would say that in the past, it was harder to get your start. But once you got that start, once you had a record label behind you who controlled everything, like the record labels back in the day, they controlled everything. There weren't a lot of talk shows for you to go on to perform. There weren't a lot of award shows. So yeah, your record label is going to get you on the VMAs and the Tonight Show. But if there's only one VMAs and only one Tonight Show and only a few spots every year, of course, the people who get on it are going to be exponentially more famous. Nowadays, our attention is being pulled everywhere. And I would say it's harder for one individual to keep your attention than it was back in the day. Because like I said, the labels controlled everything. Like it was easier to kind of claim that monopoly over the music industry. Because nowadays, I can open my phone and choose between literally 5,000 different artists in my liked Spotify playlist who all have popular music. But back in the day, you only hear what's on the radio. Guess who controls what's on the radio? The labels. You only see who performs on TV. Guess who controls who performs on TV? The labels. Everything is so controlled for a small number of artists. So that's why people are like, there were so many icons back in the day. Now there's not any because times have changed. There's just more people to choose from. A lot of people will say no one will ever be Michael Jackson level famous again simply because it's not possible because of how singled out he was. And I kind of agree with that. But don't take it from my word for it. Take it for the New York Times word. They did an article about how it's so impressive Taylor Swift is this famous, given that we live in the digital age. They said, the pop star's record-breaking career-spanning show has dominated this summer, commanding attention and whipping up demand at a level thought unachievable in today's fragmented age. Swift's catalog of generation-defining hits and canny marketing sense have helped her achieve a level of white-hot demand and media saturation not seen since the 1980s heyday of Michael Jackson and Madonna. The New York Times literally said what I'm saying. She has reached media saturation that only people who were pushed in a singular way were able to achieve, like Michael Jackson and Madonna. They continued, a dominance that the entertainment business has largely accepted as impossible to replicate in the fragmented 21st century. They said what I said so much better. Like, seriously, the New York Times, they killed it. And they're just confirming everything I said. Don't take their word for it, though. Take Billy Joel's word for it, though, a music icon. He said, right after he went to the Eras Tour, the only thing I can compare this show to is the phenomenon of Beatlemania, said Billy Joel, who attended Taylor Swift's show in Tampa, Florida. Beatlemania. Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. She is the Beatles of our time. 100%. So if I was writing a college essay right now, this would be my thesis. And my last sentence would be, Taylor Swift is Michael Jackson level famous, and everyone should stop telling me my mother should have swallowed me, because she was able to achieve what Michael Jackson achieved, but in a time of attention deficit and attention dispersion. And a part of me wonders, if Taylor Swift was a man, would she just be the man? I'm not sure. Is she tired of running as fast as she can, wondering if she would get there quicker if she was a man? But it's so crazy to see. I feel like people are starting to agree with me now. Like, there was this man on this podcast who was agreeing with me.
Go to Taylor Swift. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to go to Taylor Swift. I'm just saying, I went to Taylor, by the way.
You saw Taylor?
It's the greatest live concert I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
The only person you can compare Taylor Swift to is Michael Jackson.
Really?
There's nobody else. It is, you're doing a disrespect and a disservice to any other artist if you compare Taylor Swift to that. I'm being honest with you. I know there's a lot of guys. You know. Go.
And then right after Taylor Swift almost got her friend's wedding shut down because of the massive herds that were surrounding her, someone quote tweeted it and they said, quote, maybe the Taylor Swift is Michael Jackson level famous guy was right. And that got thousands of likes. And I was like, fuck yes. Hell yeah. Why do I always have the correct opinion, but before it's correct? So I just take all the shit, the brunt of the blow for everyone. But I'm happy I'll be on the right side of history. Again, this is a Michael Jackson love segment as well as a Taylor Swift love segment. We love them both. I'm obsessed with them both. I'm sorry if this makes you hate me. I'm open to your thoughts and comments. I'll leave it in the polls. I'm so excited to see what you guys have to say. But yeah, that's my thesis. And I feel like what we can learn from this is that, you know, life is not a zero-sum game. In order for one person to be amazing, it doesn't mean someone else can't be amazing. Two people both can't be achieving massive, incredible success at the same time. There doesn't always have to be one above. There doesn't have to be someone brought down for someone to be bigger. These two world champions of the music industry can both exist at the same time. And we can celebrate them both at the same time, as well as anything in life. For one person to do better or have the title, someone doesn't have to do worse. Everyone can win. Everyone can share the love and the success. So yeah, it's not a zero-sum game in that sense. But again, don't hate me. Love you. Okay, so we're going to have to talk about the Scooter Braun shit in the next episode, but it really is insane. Like, he screwed over so many people, a long list of people, regardless of what's going on right now. He's been a horrible person from the jump, and I'm excited to talk about all of that tea. We're going to talk about the song Ariana Grande wrote about him, and the song Taylor Swift wrote about him, and what Madison Beer said about him, and the Kid Laroi. He's fucked over so many people, and I'm so excited to share that and discuss that, students, but to do the outro here, let's go over the questions from last week and what you guys had to say. So the interactive question with my students last week was, which artist and song by the artist do you think deserved more chart success and why? Because we're always rooting for all of our faves here. We are not embarrassed to be fans of people who are not as successful or not on top of the charts. We are proud stans of everyone. So there was a lot of responses, a lot of amazing responses, and I definitely agree with a lot of them. Joanne said, Marina, formerly known as Marina and the Diamonds, she deserves more recognition for her beautifully written songs and inspiring messages, such as Man's World, Happy, Enjoy Your Life, and many more. Joanne, I couldn't agree more. I have so many Marina songs that I really love. I really like Ancient Dreams in a Modern Land, and Bubblegum Bitch, and Oh No, Prima Donna. There's a lot by Marina that I absolutely love, so I couldn't agree with you more there. Definitely, this person, Olivia, said, definitely Melanie Martinez, any song by her. Melanie Martinez stands scare me, Olivia. I don't mean to be off-putting. I love you, Olivia, but anytime I make a video about Melanie Martinez, I get absolutely attacked. Just, like, absolutely brought down to shit. And they'll beg me to make videos about her. And I'll say the nicest things, and people will still be mad at me. Sportiopes said, What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish deserves number one so much. I couldn't agree more. I think that's maybe her best song ever. And there's a video she just posted of her singing it at Lollapalooza, and the whole crowd was going fucking crazy. Insane. So I truly think she deserves number one. I don't even think she's in the top 10 this week, which is a travesty, but I could see it getting back to number one. It got like a peak of number 8 or something. It was definitely in the top 10. Brianna Donnelly, she agreed. She said, Hey, bestie Patty. Hey, bestie Brianna. She agreed that Billie Eilish deserves number one because of her impact, but especially on the Barbie song. Truly a piece of art, she says. Una says, James Charles deserves more credit for his singing talent. I think a label needs to come and eat up his talent, maybe some original music. I could see him popping out a chart topper called I Was Desperate. Oh my God, Una. I don't hate James Charles. I mean, I don't agree with everything he's done, but I don't hate him. And I don't think he's the worst singer either. This person said, I know you're not the biggest fan of Selena, but after the drama and the controversy she's had this year, she definitely needs her new single to chart high because it will show she's so talented. That was by Coco. Coco, I couldn't agree more. And I say Selena Gomez's most redeeming quality is her music. That's actually really fucking good. DCXCC said, anything by Bebe Rexha? Couldn't fucking agree more. Every song Bebe Rexha ever put out should get the love that I'm good got. Jetta said, River by Miley Cyrus. Jetta, I don't think you know how obsessed with that song I am. The second verse of River by Miley Cyrus is the best 15 seconds of music we've gotten this year. The part where she's like, you could be the one, have the honor of my babies. Hope they have your eyes and that crooked smile. Ah, so fucking good. I think Used to Be Young will do really good though. P. Hugh said, Conan Gray, his songs override in people watching. Yeah, Conan Gray is kind of like a petty twink and he annoys me. But I do like his songs. And I think people watching is super good. He's definitely not like the Taylor Swift protege that he thinks he is, though. But he has good singles. But his album tracks are just not as good. Okay, this is the last one I'm going to read. It's Eliza said, Selena, girl, she's a bad bitch queen. We all want to be. And you love her song, Good For You. Yeah, I love Good For You by Selena Gomez. That's my ultimate, like pump-up song. Maybe even before, like, a date or an encounter of that sort. I love that song. I love her breathy vocals, how she delivers. She, like, makes love to the microphone when she gets in the studio. I actually like Good For You by Selena Gomez more than I like Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo. Period. But yeah. So that's what we will end it with this week. I'm so excited to see your responses to the questions this week. And if you cannot agree to disagree with me about the Taylor Swift and Michael Jackson thing, then you're expelled. I'm just joking. But definitely leave your response. And I'm so excited to chat it up next week. And if you're going back to school this week, I'm so sorry. That is literally terrible. But enjoy it. Like, you'll only be young once, and then you'll look back and be like, if only I could just days off in class and not have to work and do all this nonsense. So just enjoy being youthful and not having responsibilities and all of that, and have like a good iconic school year, because you'll want to look back at your youth and be like, I was that bitch. And don't let anyone in your high school, your middle school, your college or whatever intimidate you. Like, go in there and be yourself. Period. Because you're a bad bitch. How you are right now, you don't have to change a thing. Look how you look around your room right now. Look at what you're wearing, how you look, how you're acting. Like, you in this very state is good enough. So show up in that state to whatever you have to do this week. But I love you all. I'm obsessed with you. And students, I will see you next week. Bye. And obviously follow and all that shit. Follow, leave a review, screenshot yourself listening to it, post it to your Instagram story and tag me. I'll hit you up. Follow my Instagram for any updates on the podcast and what's going on with it at Petty Pop Culture. Same at for my TikTok and YouTube. Check out my Snapchat show, Unfiltered Pop. But yeah, that's just the shameless self promo for you guys. Okay, bye.